You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Pack up your aqua socks after the beep.
Hi, my name's Hank. My family and I just went to a beach in Cambria, California, and I was wondering, where does all that sand come from, and how are beaches even made? I'm really curious about that. Thank you. Bye.
Hello?
Hi, Hank. It's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora. How are you?
I'm good. So, do you identify as a Californian?
I've lived here for 20 years. Yeah.
I just want to make sure that I use the right terminology. Should I call you bra or bruh, bro, dude, Mr. Bra? Like, what do you prefer?
I go by Hank.
Tell me about the beach that sparked your question.
Yeah, my wife's family does a family camping trip every June, and somebody, I forget who, picked this campsite in Cambria. It's like San Simeon Creek Campground.
Where's Cambria?
Cambria is on the central coast of California. Beautiful, beautiful area. When you look inland, you see these cypress trees and some rolling hills, kind of grassy rolling hills. And then when you face the ocean, of course, you see the deep, dark, inky black color the further out you look. So I just came away from there with all kinds of questions.
Okay, so what did this beach make you wonder?
The first thing I think is, how are beaches even formed? And I always heard something that probably from childhood that I always had stuck in my head was, you know, the waves crashing on the beach year after year after year will grind bigger pieces down into smaller, finer pieces. And it just occurred to me, is that even true? Or is it something else?
You want the nitty gritty on how beaches are born.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay, we found someone with the full scoop on sand.
Oh my gosh, I love sand.
That is beach buff Kiki Patch.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
Kiki is an expert on how beaches form and how they change over time.
So I go out and fly the beaches with my drones and look at how the beach sand has moved from year to year or from storm to storm or decade to decade.
Kiki says to understand why your beach or any beach looks the way it does, first you need to ask yourself, what is sand?
Sand is actually just a grain size. This is just a diameter of the rock chunk. You could think of it like that.
So does that mean anything that size, that little granular size, is sand?
Well, maybe not anything, but definitely a lot of things. Sand is not a monolith.
Uh-huh.
So you wanted to know where beaches come from. The answer depends on what sand spit you're roasting on. Like, the sand you smack out of your shoe in California is completely different than the sand that goes up some kid's nose in Siesta Key. So before we get to your local grains, I want to take you on a tour to meet some sand celebrities.
Okay.
Okay, so let's start by hauling our beach bag and umbrella to one of the natural white sand beaches in the Florida Keys.
That really fine, fine, sugary sand is actually formed from calcium carbonate, little tiny fragments of sea life that really breaks down into those very fine grain sizes.
It just occurred to me, I've seen those pictures where they show like hyper magnified sand. And I remember seeing, like, it's not just rock, it's also like ground up shells and stuff.
Yeah, the crust of crustaceans. And that's the thing to take away. Sand isn't always rocks. The Keys is a boneyard.
Exactly.
Next up at our beach hop, we're going to meet another non-rock sand star. We're dragging the cooler a little farther south.
If you've been to the Bahamas, they have this beautiful pink sand that is also very fine. And that comes from a little ocean single-celled critter called Foraminifera.
Foraminifera. It's this ocean plankton, and it is very beautiful. I'm going to send you a picture.
Okay.
And we'll put it on Instagram at ELT Show, along with all the other pictures from the episode.
Here we go. Ah, it's so intricate. They look like little shell creatures with kind of like a node in the middle and some kind of radiating structure, almost in a spiral pattern. One of them looks just like a leaf, like a crystal leaf.
Almost like a fern leaf, right?
Exactly. And it's very pink.
And those intricate little creatures are what gets stuck between your cheeks in the Bahamas. This sand tour would not be complete without a stop at the beach capital of the world. So let's lug our noodles to the Aloha State.
Hawaii is amazing. The volcanic islands.
Have you been to Hawaii?
I have. I saw all different kinds of colors of beach there. I mean, the black sand, which are beautiful. And there I understand that's volcanic rock.
Yeah, you were digging your toes into tiny bits of lava.
Oh.
But Hawaii's white sand beaches have a pretty dramatic origin story, too. Did you set foot on any of those?
Yes.
Were they nice?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's beautiful. The sand is so good on your feet.
So we have a very special animal to thank for that white sand in Hawaii. I'm going to send you another picture.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, my. Oh, those are freakish. And it's like kind of big and bulbous. It's kind of looks like it's looking at the camera and smiling. It's got its mouth open like, hey, look at me. It's got these little beady eyes. And then these front teeth. It's like the most buck-toothed creature you've ever seen. What an odd tooth. Is it like one big tooth?
You're looking at the ridiculous mouth of the ridiculous parrotfish.
It basically looks like a fish with a big just wall of like four teeth in the front.
Actually, those tooth walls are hundreds of tiny teeth fused together.
No kidding.
And they're not just for show. They use those teeth to eat coral. I'm going to send you a video so you can see these chomping machines in action. This is from BBC Earth.
Okay. Oh, there it goes.
Humphead parrotfish. Their jaws are so powerful, they can bite through rock.
It's like a whole school of these parrotfish grazing on the coral. It looks like they're bumping into it, but they're taking bites. Oh, and there they go. And now they are eliminating waste out of their back ends.
Eliminating waste out of their back ends. Are you a physician or something?
I don't know what I'm supposed to say. These fish are pooping like crazy. The whole water was just completely cloudy.
Can you guess where this is going?
Instead of a boneyard, graveyard beach, we're going to have a fish poop beach.
Yeah, it's a real dump. A single parrotfish poops out hundreds of pounds of white sand every year.
Hundreds of pounds?
Uh-huh.
What's going on inside that fish to poop out that much? Like, what are they keeping? What are they getting out of this?
They're algitarians. They eat the algae growing on and in the coral.
Oh, the algae. Okay. And they poop out the hard, rocky bits.
Yeah, it's a howdy-doody situation.
Well, you're making me a little concerned about when we get to the central coast of California. It keeps getting more and more gruesome. Like, what's our beach made out of?
There's nowhere to go but up. We're going to find out what your beach is made of after the break.
That beach in particular is fascinating.
So let's see you back to your beach, Hank.
Yes, I'm dying of curiosity here. Don't string me along anymore.
So we asked Kiki, who specializes in California beaches, about the spot you called about.
Great spot, Hank.
You know this beach.
I do. I love this beach. That beach in particular is fascinating.
Even though your beach is not the communal toilet bowl of a semi-charismatic tropical fish, it has its own gnarly origin story.
Nice.
So where do you think the sand on your beach came from?
I mean, I think it was, there were cliffs there that over a long period of time got pounded by storms and just the tides and got slowly broken down and dragged into the water. And then, you know, the action of the water just further pulverized it down into sand.
You're 30% right.
Up to 30% of sand can come from sea cliff erosion.
But you're two-thirds wrong, because most of the sand on your beach comes from much further away.
I mean, where else could it possibly come from?
So in California, about 70 to 90% of the sand comes from rivers and streams.
That's the major sand stream.
Oh, I would have never... All that sand, there's so much of it. I mean, those beaches are huge.
This is true for many East Coast beaches, too, that the sand originally hails from rivers and streams.
No way.
So let's dive into how this works.
Each one of those little grains of sand starts its journey sometimes thousands of miles from the ocean up in sort of the headwaters of these rivers and creeks.
It actually comes from big slabs of rock that make up the Earth's crust.
So our entire continental crust is made of this bedrock. And slowly over time, these rocks will break down and weather and erode.
And those eroded bits of rock get picked up by rivers and streams that carry them towards the coast.
And they flow down and they continue to get pulverized and bounced around and move with the water. And they make their way to the ocean. So essentially that beach sand that you're seeing is this sort of pulverized material that you get when you've broken down the surrounding bedrock.
So when you look at your beach, the shades of sand you see are determined by the rock from the cliffs and the headwaters miles upstream.
Yeah, so when you see different colors, you're seeing actually the different colors of rock that's miles inland.
And your beach has some really cool rocks in the neighborhood.
The surrounding rock, the geology in this area is pretty awesome. It's got volcanic rocks and sedimentary rocks. We have things like jade and moonstone and agates. And so when that erodes, you get those minerals on the beach. If you were to take a little hand lens and just grab a little sand, all of a sudden you see the little shiny pieces of quartz and the garnet and the jade and the moonstones.
I mean, they are literally tiny jewels.
They are literally tiny jewels, yes.
So if you wanted to picture where each jewel on your beach started out, you could actually go to Google Earth and trace the nearby rivers and streams inland.
Huh. This campsite in Cambria actually had a creek running by it that emptied into the beach.
That's the funnel.
So if you look at all those creeks and look at all of the bedrock that they're traveling through, imagine that sand taking that journey over thousands of years. So it's really incredible when you start to think about sort of the life history of that one little grain.
The life history of one little grain. That would be fascinating to track, like, one grain of sand and its journey. Is there any role of the tides and the storms and the ocean itself in breaking down those particles, or is that just, that's not it at all?
Waves do have a part to play.
Yeah, they do. Of course they do. So on the beach, you can imagine that wave energy sort of picking up those grains of sand and pulverizing it. Every time it hits it, it's going to be slapped against each other and slapped against the ground. And so those grains of sand will get a little bit smaller.
But it's more like the waves are fine-tuning the grains.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it.
Okay, here's another question. This beach was very striking to me because there's all this kind of coarse but, you know, fine sand, and then there's this big patch of gravel right in the middle of it. What about all those patches of gravel? So is that just gravel that got washed down from inland and didn't have time, or for whatever reason didn't get pulverized? And I guess, will it?
Is it going to grow out of its awkward teenage pebble years into an adult sandy beach?
Yes. Are those pebbles like whiteheads that just need to be popped?
Oh my God, what an image. So the answer is, just like some goofy foot barrel chasers, some beaches, like yours, never grow up, my dude. And here's why. There's a steady supply of new gravel coming in from the cliffs and nearby streams. And at the same time, the smaller grains don't stick around for long.
The waves are pretty big, so they will take anything that is finer and pull it off the beach, which is why you don't see a lot of finer-grained material on these beaches.
Oh, I'm totally... No, I completely didn't expect that. Of course, it makes total sense when you say it. The waves on this part of the coast are big enough that they're basically grabbing the little grains and pulling them out to sea, but it's leaving the bigger bits, the coarser sand and the bigger bits of gravel on the beach.
Yes.
It blows out of the water the whole idea that, you know, over time, this will be one of those powdery beaches then that's just never going to happen.
Have we sated your sand appetite?
Definitely. I mean, we just call it sand. You know what I mean? To us, we just say sand. Sometimes we say white sand, you know, and that's like as deep as we get. And it's so much deeper, right?
I know.
I mean, now I just can't get it out of my head that now when I look at a beach, I need to like turn around and not face the ocean, but face inland instead and think about where way up in the hills. Okay, that's where the sand came from. That's a totally different way to think about a beach. I wish they all could be California beaches. They all could be
California beaches. If you have a burning question you can't find the answer to, give us a call. 833-RING-ELT. I wish they all could be California beaches. They all could be California beaches.
This episode of Every Little Thing was produced by Stephanie Werner, Emily Foreman, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Dara Hirsch and Bobby Lord. Mixed by Dara Hirsch and Enoch Kim. Special thanks to Gary Griggs. Every Little Thing is a Spotify original podcast. Bury me in tiny jewels. Goodbye.